I'm not going to talk about World Horizons, the mission I'm involved in, because that's not what my brief this morning, and you'd probably be pleased about that. But Margaret and I have been in World Horizons for 28 years. But I want to entitle my little talk this morning about focus. And I want to say that the world is a different place now than it was when I was 20 and 30 years old. I grew up during what was known as the Cold War. I was in the Royal Air Force, and it was when the Russian Federation that is now was called actually the Soviet Union. But we actually knew it as the Iron Curtain. And China was known as the Bamboo Curtain. And why was it called that? Well, it meant that anyone living outside of these nations, huge nations, were not welcome. And no one was allowed in. So my 20s and 30s, and even into my almost 40s, you know, this was the way it was. And it was a mystery what was going on behind the Iron Curtain, and a mystery what was going on behind the Bamboo Curtain. So when I left the Royal Air Force and we joined World Horizons, which was an amazing time for us because we had no idea who they were and what they were doing, and yet God called us into this bunch of people who prayed all the time, which we weren't used to then. And we went to the midweek meeting for prayer, and that was it. And it took an hour, maybe 2 hours, and that was a struggle. Got to this place called World Horizons, and there were all these groups of young people, and we were quite young then, but we were the eldest. But they were praying for nations and people that they had never seen, with such a dynamic fervor that it touched our hearts and it blew us away a bit. But that's how we came into World Horizons. Here was a bunch of people who really wanted to pray. And prayer changes things. And I'm going to prove that with a few slides. And so my scripture this morning is no surprise to you. It's a well-known one, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And in the NLT it says, Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I live in that. It hasn't been rescinded. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Not just go and tell them about me, but spend time with them and grow with them and share the greatest message on earth. And so I've been doing that. But as I look in the world today, it's clear that the nations of the world are still in need of a going church. Now, my talk is called by one name only, and it's called Focus. And so just a little bit of a statistic here. 43% of the world's people groups are still considered unreached. That's something in the region of more than 7,000 people groups still don't know about our Savior Jesus, or that there is a Savior of the world. So we still need a going church, don't we? We still need a church that is dynamic and wants to share the greatest message on earth. Well, what should we focus on today? Because I believe Satan would have us focus on what he is doing. And it's easy to be drawn into the most horrific, violent evil that's kicking off all over the world, not just in the Middle East and in West Africa. It's even happening in China, in northwest China, where I'm working quite a lot. Well, a wise man once said to me, he's actually the founder of World Horizons, Roland Evans, and he said, find out what the Holy Spirit is doing and join yourself to him. I'm going to say that again. Our focus should be from this. Find out what the Holy Spirit is doing and join yourself to him. Well, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, he is doing many things around the world, but I would like us to focus on what he's doing in the Pacific Rim. I say the Pacific Rim because there's stuff going on there which is really, really exciting. There's a growing army of people who love Jesus with a passion. Sadly, because that is happening, I think we in the West think, well, our job is over and it's done, it's finished. There's nothing more left for us to do. These guys are very up for it. And they'll go and do anything. Well, I hope to share with you this morning that actually together, the church in the West and the church in the East need each other. And we need each other more now than at any other time in world history. Can we have... You've got it there. Right. I'm not sure that's the right slide. Is it number two? Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, of course. Next bit, please. I want to make a connection. And some of you will remember the decade of the 90s. Yeah, some of them are a lot younger. And, well, there is some connection here. I think if some of you will remember that there was an unprecedented move of prayer that the world has never known in all of history, of a prayer that was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And I think it kind of began in Uganda. And I don't know what the figures were right at the beginning, but it soon rose to something like 20,000 believers praying for the unreached world. And it was a phenomenon that no one seems to have orchestrated this. No one can say, I started this. I don't think anyone did. It was the Holy Spirit. But it gathered such a momentum from 1990 all the way through the whole decade. Now, the Church of England call it the decade of evangelism. And I think that's correct. That's right. That's fine. But what began was prayer coming from the hearts of God's people that others picked up. And in the month of October, every year, tens of thousands began to pray for the unreached world. Now, in my Bible, it says when two of us get together and to start praying, he promises to answer that prayer. Well, this prayer group grew right to the end of the decade to over 100,000 praying believers. Now, if only two are going to get answered, what do you think is going to happen with 100,000 of us all praying for the same thing? And we are living in the good of that today. We're living in the good of that. Better keep to my notes here. The other phenomena in the 90s was this march of witness in almost every major city of the world. Have we ever heard of that before? And it's never happened since. But it happened during this decade. And it declared that Jesus Christ is Lord in almost every, including China, because they'd started to open up. Prayer does that. It's like a can opener, isn't it? And out comes what God intends to do through different seasons and at different times. It happens in our personal lives, but it happens in a global perspective as well. And we need to look at the global thing. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Find out and then get on board and do something with it. Whatever that is, whether it's local or global, you can get on board. it did something too, dramatically, that the iron curtain and the bamboo curtain came down. We were allowed in. And the church did go in. It's usually quite slow. It's usually not really looking. It's sometimes looking the other way. But the church went in. But we also found that God was not restricted by you and me and the church in the West. He was doing his thing behind the iron curtain, behind the bamboo curtain. And it's fabulous to hear the amazing stories that have been coming out ever since. God and the Holy Spirit and the Son of God was being shared and people were getting saved. And we suddenly realized that there is a huge church emerging from the Pacific Rim. And during that time as well, loads and loads of I was in my element. It's great doing an overland, isn't it? And you can't get away from an overland. You're in a tin can with four wheels on it, and you're off on a journey, and it's going to take about 2 or 3 weeks, and you can't go anywhere else. You've got to go with it. And then you open your Bible and you start praying because you haven't anything else to do. And you begin to realize you've taken time out to hear God speaking to you and into the circumstances and the situation that you're in, passing through Europe on your way into a Muslim country that knows nothing, virtually nothing, about who Jesus is. So your focus is on what God is saying to us, and then you're speaking it out and praying it out, which is terrific. So these were going all over the unreached world every year for a whole decade. Seems to have slowed up a little at the moment. Okay, let me show you where things are at now. You've seen, or you may have heard, and there's lots of Koreans around. Churches growing with Koreans all over the world. Now, in the decade of the 90s, in 95, I was with George Verwer at that time, and he spoke. It's great to be able to sit down here, and there's George Verwer speaking out to 85,000 passionate Koreans who love Jesus. And his challenge was, why are you sitting here? Get out there. And they all had a card, and they all had to sign that they were on their way to the unreached world. And many of them did. And so out of 85,000, I'm serious about this, I think 80,000 actually signed their cards. And I think most of them went, because they're all over the place. They're all over the place. And they do it in their way and their style, and it's great. But they've obeyed what the Holy Spirit said to do. And they're on the way. And you know, have you heard of the Back to Jerusalem vision? That was given to the Chinese church in 1949. It's not only their vision, but it's their part in it. And it was the challenge for them to mobilize a mission movement to evangelize all the nations in the East until they reach Jerusalem. That was given in 1949, and then the bamboo curtain came down, it shut them all out, and they weren't able to get out, and no one was able to get in. So it's up to us. It's this generation where they will carry on that amazing vision. So we have the mobilization of Koreans, we have the emergence of the Back to Jerusalem vision of a Chinese church that wants to send 100,000 missionaries. What a challenge. And they don't think that's very big. 100,000. And did you know, many people don't know this, but for the last 20 years, in the hill tribes of Vietnam, it's funny to say this because it's actually among the Hmong hill tribe, there's been revival there for 20 years. Now, not many people know that because not many people understand the Hmong language. But there was a Canadian guy that came and met with some of the pastors that had come down from the hills a great sacrifice to themselves and a challenge to their own lives to come and share what God had been doing. Now, a full gospel businessman had gone to Vietnam and started to share about Jesus. And they're all full gospel businessmen churches, which he never even imagined that that's how it would go. And there are thousands in them, and they're hard to reach. But God is doing, from that decade of evangelism, of that phenomena of amazing prayer, that God answered that prayer, and he's still answering it, and he's still doing an amazing amount of work. Why do you think that what's kicking off in the Middle East and the Islamic extremism and what Satan is trying to scare the church into becoming weak and ineffectual is because all this is going on and he wants you to take part and I to take part, the Western church. We're not finished yet. So what's going on is don't watch or focus upon what the devil is doing, but focus on what God is doing. And then the love of Christ will take away all fear. This isn't the time to be a Jonah who was in the boat and he went to sleep and he was trying to run away and he was arguably the most successful evangelist of all time. He was the most reluctant evangelist of all time as well, wasn't he? And he was found asleep in the boat, and the captain of the boat had to say to wake him up. And I think we're in that scenario right now. We need waking up, and we need seeing that there is work to be done. There's fantastic work to be done. And, yeah, so let's have a look at what about China? Yeah, that is China. I've marked in Tibet. Tibet is politically part of China. But in Tibet is the most unreached people group in the world. There has never, ever been a church amongst the Tibetans. There's ones and twos have come to a knowledge of Jesus. We don't really know how much understanding that they have. And you will hear stories of Tibetans coming to Christ. But it is, even today, questionable. But that's a region, and that's where we're trying to work and have been working for some time. And that's where Nigel is going to meet one or two of these crazy people that go up on this plateau at 15,000 feet and meet people who've never even heard about Jesus. And so it's an exciting pioneer first contact, even on our own planet. Okay, next slide, please. Just a few statistics here. 1.37 billion, many say it's 1.4 billion people in China at the moment, 90% of which are Han Chinese. And there are 500 plus different people groups than the Han Chinese. So you're talking of huge numbers here. Okay, 5.1% Christian. They say the most numbers of Christians in any one nation reside in China. But if there was 200 million believers in China, there is still 1.2 billion people who have never heard of Jesus. These are huge numbers. And so, actually, China is a receiving nation still, but paradoxically, they are beginning to send out missionaries, with 130 million of them. Almost the same size as the US, life expectancy. I don't know why we're so keen on knowing these statistics, but we want to know how long they live for. And it's 73 for the males. They are, and the females always live longer than us. It's kind of a question I would like to say, why? Anyway, and for us, and I thought you'd like to know, well, how long are we expected to live for? And it's 81 years. So that was interesting. But in China right now, the high proportion of the divorce rate is causing great concern in China. In the cities, not in the farmlands, not in the rural areas, it's for every two marriages, one will fail. One in two. That is enormous. What does that tell us? That tells us actually that they are looking for something that will satisfy them, that will satisfy the emptiness and the longing in their hearts. And they think marriage will bring it. Well, it did with me and Margaret, but I knew the Lord before that. Even marriage will not fill the emptiness that is in every soul. It's only Christ that can fill that emptiness. But they are searching and they are looking and they think they're going to get it in marriage without researching properly, without, I don't know what it is. They are rushing to be married and they all want to be married in a Western church. It's this imbalance here, and yet they are enormously intelligent, many of them. Again, the abortion rate is 13 million a year. It's really, really sad, and a lot of them are girls. And because if they can only have one child, they prefer a boy. But that raises up huge issues, we'll see in a minute. And yeah, so for every 100 children, one is aborted. In America, for every 500 children born, one is aborted. These are huge numbers. What does that raise in a nation of people just on the psychological level and on the emotional level? And I'm going to be sharing about how can the West, the church in the West, who have an abundance of professionals, skilled people who know how to minister to people or who are in trauma. But we'll carry on with this. One-child policy has thrown up huge questions. Just think about this. When you buck against God's order of things, you bear the consequences every time. It happened with Russia when they decided that anyone could get divorced just by saying it. Didn't even have to go to court. They didn't even have to make any kind of a declaration except to each other. Within a year or 2 years, they had to rescind that because the whole fabric of the Russian society nearly collapsed. Because when God institutes something of marriage and family, it is the best. It can't be bettered. It's the best there is. And you mess with that. We mess with that at our peril. And China have done it. They've instituted one-child policy. That means they haven't got any brothers or sisters. So boy meets girl, if he can find one. And you have two sets of grandparents in their old age. Who is going to look after two sets of grandparents who are aging and 10 years from now? When they had extended families and they had more children and stuff, the grandchildren looked after the grandparents in the same house. Well, they don't live in houses now. On the ground, single story. They live in flats. There's no room for extended family. There are no grandchildren to look after the grandparents in their old age. There are no daycare centres for the aged. There are very few, if any, care homes for the elderly. And they've only just realised what is happening. Now, we're not talking about tens of thousands. We're talking about millions in each of the major cities. So it's not an economic collapse I'm thinking of in terms of China. I think this, China is in danger of collapsing under their social policy and this one-child policy. I do not want China to fail. We do not. The nations of the world do not benefit from China failing. We want them to succeed. So when you mess with God's order of the best, you bear the consequences. So we do need to pray for China. We do need to pray that there somehow God, if they repent, just like Nineveh, a whole city there. I read in the Bible at one time that one whole nation repented and turned to God. He redeemed a whole nation. He can do that now. If we pray, if we are like the ones in the decade of the 90s and pray for God's best, find out what the Holy Spirit is doing and join yourself to Him. Don't get too caught up with the horrendous, horrific stuff that's kicking off. Satan is angry and he knows his time is short, and he will stop the church if he can through fear. But the perfect love of Christ casts out all fear. You've heard it this morning. To lift off this whole thing, where is my focus? That's what matters to me. What am I focused? It is easy to be drawn to the news that's happening all the time. The beheadings and all of that. It's evil. It's awful. But it focuses on what Satan is doing, not on what God is doing. Where am I? What's the next slide, please? Last year, I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit to go and learn Chinese. Believe me, that is a laugh. I went for 3 months. But I felt He wanted me to do that, and there was no way unless a supernatural anointing, was it Dave or someone was praying over us for that supernatural, Steve, is it?
Tubbo.
Yeah, thanks for that. We do desperately need that kind of thing. Well, I went for 3 months and I went to a Christian language school, which I want to work with in the future in our field. So that all those that come and work with us will learn Mandarin through this school. So I went as a forerunner and at my age as well. And they looked a bit shocked when I walked in and said, "I'd like to learn Mandarin, please." And so I was there for 3 months. And those three on the top left, I was in the same apartment as them. There were several rooms in the apartment. And these three, you've all heard of the Brother Yun in, what's that book? The Heavenly Man. I keep forgetting that. And it's in the Hunan is the correct pronunciation, region. These three are from several different, each from a different house church. And they were sent to Xi'an, which is north of Hunan. And they are trainee teachers for missionaries, for church, they are passionate about the Lord Jesus. They get up very early in the morning, much earlier than I did, and they're praying and singing, so I needed to wake up. And in Chinese, and they're harmonious. Have you heard any Chinese here at all? They're a bit like Brazilians. They don't sing, they shout. Singing noise, great it is. The complete abandonment to the worship of God at 6 in the morning. Doesn't it say in Proverbs he's supposed to put them to death or something like that? But there was such a lovely three, but they wouldn't let me cook. They wanted to do everything for me. Grey hair helps out there, by the way, guys. So you can always do something with your hair as well. And I grew to love these three. And they were real sort of ambassadors for their church. And particularly Albert, they've all got English names, and they're all from Agnes is the middle one, and she has her name, I think, is the daughter of one of the famous missionaries, and I can't remember his name now, in Africa. But this is how they choose their names. And Albert, I don't know what on earth he was using that name for, but he did. But he and I bonded together, and, you know, he's a true brother in the Lord, and yet he's only 22 years old. But what he knew about the Bible was amazing. And their total commitment to Jesus is 100%. I won't say any more because there's no such thing as 110%, but you know what I mean. But what he needed was someone to come alongside, not tell him what to do, or you're wrong here, or you're right there, or whatever. But he would ask me questions, and I would share with him, and he would ask me some very, very deep questions about communion. What's all that about? I believe in this. Is that correct? And we would have many, many discussions. And this is what the Chinese church need. Loving, humble disciples, mentors, who will come alongside and not push our cultural theology upon them, but to love them and come alongside them and spend time with them and support them. That's what the Chinese church needs. The guys on the right, the students of China, and I better move forward on this. How long have I been? Oh, goodness me. I went to English Corners. Just like this university, there would be English Corners if you have foreign students or whatever. And out there in China, there are thousands of universities in just one city. Thousands. And they each have an English corner, and you can go to them, and their standard of English is amazing. And so you talk about anything, education, usually, families, and all the rest of it. They are so eager to learn about folks in the West. Now, they don't know that I'm a believer at this point. They're seeing me for the first time. I sat there. I've got about 7 of them. And there's always about 7 of them. And there's loads of these groups all in one room. This happens all the time, and you can go to one every night of the week in a different university. Within 10 minutes, I am asked every time I went in the 3 months, every week, do you have a faith? Now, I'm one of those that don't want to push, but draw and allow them to come a bit further. In actual fact, a Chinese person means, do you have a religion? But they don't use the word religion. We don't like that anyway, do we? We like the word faith. So they ask me every time, do you have a faith? And I said, yes, I do. And then I'll try and steer, because there are others. This guy is insistent, by the way. Do you have a faith? Yes, I do. Okay, let's get back to the subject, because there are 6 others. Yes, but do you have a faith, and will you tell me about it? Not everybody wants to know, but they do. And I don't know this. And I'm trying to figure out, what is it? Why are they asking me such a question? Not because they know I'm a believer, because they don't know whether it's Christian or Baha'i or goodness knows what else. They have had decades without any belief. Nothing to believe in but the state. And they can see, as well as you and I, that the actual communism does not satisfy. And the love of the state doesn't fill that emptiness. They are all, 1.4 billion of them, want to know what to believe in. There is nothing there for them to hold on to. What is life? What's its purpose? Where is it going? It's the same kind of question that I was asking before I got saved when I was in the RAF. But a whole nation is asking that question, particularly all the students. Now, I don't know how many millions, tens of millions of students there are, but they're all asking the same question, and there's only a few of us. So we need a whole boatload of people going out there, and it doesn't matter what age you are. If you can speak English and you are a believer and you've got white, grey, green or red hair, it doesn't really matter. They want to know, what do you believe in? And if they can see it in you and they can see the heart response of that, they'll want to know more. And so you have a whole diary of the entire week filled up with those who are asking meaningful questions of what do I believe and why. When I first became a Christian, I couldn't find that many, you know, nobody wants to know about Jesus. And even in our churches, the subject of Jesus doesn't always come up. When you're having a meal with him or a chat or something like that, it's what you got on your iPad. And you know, have you got an iPhone or are you using iOS, is it? Or Android or something like that. But Jesus isn't mentioned. But these guys, that's all they want to know about. Isn't it wonderful? These guys on the left, this is all in 3 months. I had no idea just of the extent of all of this. So I'm just sharing with you, and if it touches you or anything at all, and you want to see this for yourself, and Nigel is going to see, great, and he will encounter some of these people. And when you've done that, you just want to go back and back and back. That's what prayer has done, by the way. That unprecedented, massive global prayer God is answering today. And Satan knows. That's why he's kicking off all over the place. Pastors Luke, Andrew, Mr. Lee and Joshua. Now, you wouldn't be able to recognize them from that picture. And because I've got their names there, that is truly their English names. It's not obviously not their Chinese name. Luke on the left was my teacher. He had a hard time trying to teach me Mandarin and the four tones and was I getting it? And then he was trying to put it into sentences. Amazing. Patience. And he's on the left. His pastor, he's got 200 in his little church. And he connected with these three guys who were sitting down there. And I thought they were all from the same church. It was only afterwards, after spending an hour with them, and several months later, I found out they're each from a different church. And they're asking me for help to grow, to send out workers, to address the whole area of daycare centres for the elderly, for care homes for the elderly, for all kinds, you know, and also they're coming in from the same countryside as the heavenly man into the cities because they're hidden in the cities. There's so many millions and millions and millions of people. But out in the rural areas, they're easily seen for what they are as a group of people coming together and worshipping. And they can't worship quietly, by the way. So there are, you know, 1 hour sitting with these four guys, each with 200 at least in their church. And this is just a house church. We're not talking about the denomination. Asking me all kinds of questions. Can I help? And I'm still trying to respond to this today. But it's like slow moving. And then I discovered too that there's this Australian missionary and she's very Australian, very rude against the Poms. And I said, what do you do on a Saturday? Because she was telling me she has a great time on a Saturday morning. And she teaches disabled children, kids, Chinese kids, how to swim. And they're having a whale of a time. And I suddenly realized that is it. I get it. That's what the church, they don't want theology per se. They don't want evangelists, except students of English and stuff, because the Chinese can evangelize their own people. No problem at all. They're out there and they're sharing about Jesus in their language, not in mine. But there are huge, huge opportunities for workers who are prepared to teach disabled kids how to swim. And this, she's a missionary from Australia and has only just been adopted by an organization because it was a local church in Australia that was sending her out. And she was struggling financially. But here she is every Saturday morning, and she's reaching more Chinese families than anybody else who are so-called professionals in a professional kind of way. She's learning Mandarin. So she's a student. That's her visa. But on a Saturday morning, she's drawing in lots of other believers to come and help. Lots and lots of classes. And I'm calling that skill sharing. If I say to you, have you got a theological degree? Have you been to Bible college? Well, you, of course you need to know what you believe in and be able to communicate that in a one-to-one basis. But this skill sharing, all of us can do. Nigel can play a piano. I play the bagpipes. Nobody wants to learn the bagpipes in China yet, but I can swim. I can do a few skills. What is your skill? Whatever skill you have, it's useful there. They want to know. Somebody wants to know. Out of 1.4 billion, you'll get more than thousands interested. Horse riding. Just day-to-day stuff. How to cook Western meals. Anything you can think of that is a skill. Sign language. And all kinds of things. You can come with your skill to China and share it. You don't need a theological degree. Reaching more Chinese families than any other in Xi'an. Great. Next slide, please. So what are the opportunities? House church leaders ask for help from the Western church. Bible teachers of many subjects. I've talked to AD about this, and I'm hoping to talk to Mike as well. But biblical discipleship, leadership, accountability, role of men and women in churches. The women are not put down in China. They actually often are the leaders of many, many businesses and church and leadership. In some respects, Mike, I wanted to go out there and tell them what the role of men is. What is the role of men in the church? Good question. We do need those who can share about missiology and cross-cultural mission trainers. They are sending out their thousands, and thousands are coming back because they realize that the people outside China speak a different language. It's as simple as that. China is so big, they're so introverted, and when they go out, they suddenly hit a wall. I can't speak to this person, and I can't move forward because I haven't learned their language. What do I do now? So mission training is required. They need to be prepared well so they don't come back, because it costs a lot to keep them there as well. So, English, science, maths, teachers, friendship, evangelism, huge opportunities here. More Western short-termers, skill sharers, as I've said, like swimming, music, drama, hanging out with students. Coffee's great out there as well. Quite nice. Costs a lot, though. Professionals in short-term mission, counselors at all age levels. Just give you an insight here quickly, that the grandparents raise the grandchildren because mum and dad are out working. So there's no relationship with mum and dad. It's with the grandparents. And so the children go off to university. So there is a gap formed from the whole family structure now for the students. And there's only one of them. And they get sent back overseas. They get sent overseas because everything is thrust upon this one child, one hope, one option. And they become little emperors. Do you understand that term? Spoilt. Seriously spoilt. Will they come back after being overseas and having the freedom to come and serve their country? Or come and help with the family issues that everything has been spent on them? The richest among them will sell everything for that one child, which isn't good for them. So it's a great, huge question here. So therapists, speech therapists, one lady there was there for 3 weeks. She had a massive impact in three different provinces as she moved from 1 week in one province, moved to the next and to the next. And just 1 week in each, and she was able to help children who had that speech impediment, all kinds of stuff, well outside of my understanding. But she was such a great blessing to many, many Chinese families for their children. And so care for the elderly, all of these things, working alongside the house church and in the north and stuff. So, yeah, this, let me, the next slide, please. And this is the end. This is just a street, life in the street. See the lady in the top left? I passed her every day on my way to language school and doing a bit of study. And what she was making was absolutely marvellous. I'd go back to Xi'an tomorrow for another one of those. And she baked on the side. But she had such a lovely smile, and I was praying for her. Every time I bought this wrap, egg and sausage, and you really like them, Nigel, if we get you there. And I wondered, is she her husband? What's her family like and all the rest of it? And I was praying every day for her. She had such a lovely smile. And we got to know each other, but we couldn't converse, except I could ask in Chinese for one of these wraps. And then I was praying. I said, well, I wonder if her husband, her family, and praying for her every day. And then one day her husband turned up, and he was doing the wraps as well. And I saw him face to face. And then when I left China, 5 months later, I went back and saw them both again. And Albert was trying to get through to them that I was praying for them. And I don't know where they're at, but, God just gives you someone to pray for, even though you can't speak to them. Always smile. The guy on the right is Hui. That is a Muslim. And there are many, many, many Muslims in Xi'an, in China, millions of them. Street scene on the left, and of course, the Great Wall of China. It really is there. And Margaret's walked that particular pathway. It was very hot, wasn't it? And she wanted to get down off it. But China is an amazing, street life is great. The weather's great, food is great. Why are we sitting here, So find out what the Holy Spirit is doing and join yourself to him. And what is my focus today with all the resources that I have, my Apple Mac and my iPad and my iPhone? It's all integrated. It means a lot. But actually, it's quite useful. But what really should I be focusing on? And that's my message. Life on the streets, you can meet them. In the student world, at church level, they need us who have hundreds of years of experience to come alongside and help them do it. And they'll finish the task of the Great Commission. Thanks. God bless you.